This is Embracing Change with Lakrita Bowman and Jennifer Osborne. Welcome back to the Embracing Change podcast. Hello, everyone. This is season two for us, and we are super excited about what we're going to be talking about this season, and that is the subject of change. How are you doing today, Lakrita?
I am wonderful. Thanks for asking, Jennifer.
Oh, you're welcome. Good to see you. Today, we're going to talk about the opening subject of change, and that's just basically what is change. So, Lakrita, when you were thinking about what you wanted to talk about in this season, why was change so important?
Well, I think that change is so important because it's the one thing that never ceases. According to the Bible, in Genesis 8:22, it said that it will always be harvest, planting, hot, cold, summer, winter. This will never cease. So that tells me that change is inevitable, that change is consistent. It's the one thing you can't control. It's the one thing that you can be left behind if you choose not to go with it, but it's the one thing that's going to go on with or without you. Ecclesiastic talks about in three, that whole chapter, if you read it, talks about change. There's a time to die. There's a time to kill. There's a time to, you know, give up. There's a time to give in. There's always a time. So it's constantly talking about change. And so when I thought about this subject, I thought about it in many ways because working and serving my own life first, I think we always want to think about others. Again, I'm learning and I have learned and I'm still learning that change starts first with me, with the person in the mirror. Michael Jackson said it well. You know, we can do all the changing, but let's talk about changing the man in the mirror. And so this whole season, I really want to talk about the person in the mirror. When I thought about change, it wasn't about changing the world. We have a lot of going on in 2020. We know about racism and we know about the political heat and we know about corruption. But I know that the only person that I have control to change is me. And so I want to talk about that.
So when you thought about the subject of change, and clue for everybody, that is the name of the podcast, but when you were thinking about changing your own life, because your life radically changed from before Christ to after Christ and how God renewed you and changed a lot of different parts of your life, where were there spots in you that were resistant to even consider change?
I think the main thing that was resistant is my ability to see life in the way that it really was. It's called reality. I think that I saw it from lenses and views from pain and patterns. And I now realize that I had to go back inside and begin to look at the pain and where it came from and then be willing to go deeper to change the patterns, because the patterns is how I think. And then it's how I respond and it's how I react and it's how I behave. And so change has all of those components to it. And so when you say, what is change? It's adapting. It is transitional. It is standing still sometimes. Change is sometimes just standing still. You know, we think change means movement. I've learned that sometimes change is just being still, learning how to bring your mind to a place of just stillness, where it's not ripping and running and creating chaos for you. I always say chaos means everything is present, but it's out of order. And so I believe that, you know, change is that. It's finding your new order. I hear people talk about, you know, with 2020, they're trying to get back to the normal. The hell with the normal. I always say there's nothing normal but a but on the washer and dryer cycle. I can put it on the normal cycle, or I can put it, you know, or a dishwasher.
Right.
But I can't in life call anything normal. What I can call it is transformational.
Yeah.
Or I can call it renewing. Or I can even call it readjusting. But normal? What is normal?
Do you think there's a certain amount of security in trying not to change? It's like the known versus the unknown.
Of course. Let's just think about this. If everybody is listening right now, if you close your eyes and just imagine where you were a year ago today, let's look back at 2019, same day. If you have a calendar, eventually pull it out, or just go in your mind and see where you are from now, from then to now. And then I want to say, did you have any control? Did you really have any control over the last year or 11 months of your life? I think we were being forced by other things outside of us, creating for us. And the only thing we really had control of is the person in the mirror and how we react to COVID, how we react to what the governor says or the president says or your congressman said or your mayor said, and the mask, mm-hmm. the not wearing the mask. You know, so you say, you know, what's the risk of staying the same? We have over 250, you know, 1,000 people dead from a disease that we had no control over that changed the world.
It just kind of showed
it
up.
It changed the world. Yeah. It changed us, and we could have stayed inside the bubble of our own resistance, or we could have came out and began to see it from the perspective that this is an opportunity. And I think some of us did and some of us didn't. Some of us will leave this pandemic being the same, not seeing what we could have become this whole 11 months. And so when you ask that question about what the fear of the unknown, or we still don't know. We still don't know. So what has changed? Let's call it COVID 2020. That's change. None of us expected to live the life we have right now in the way that we're living it. We're going into one of the biggest holidays that goes into the new year, and we all are being asked to stay home. Don't go out. Don't only be with your bubble family. And I think that's responsible. And if you do go outside of that bubble, that you think about other people, but think about you first. Look at the person in the mirror and say, how do I love me? Because how I love me is how I love you.
So just looking at 2020, because 2020 has just been a heck of a year. I think a lot of people are just like, can't wait for it to be over. At a certain level, do you think it's good to just kind of pull back and look at it like with a little excitement that change can bring a good thing, like a really, really good thing? Like you were pushed out of your norm and into this place where you really are given a new way of thinking, a new way of going.
Of course. And most of us like comfort. Comfort is our friend.
Right.
You know, you go home from a hard day's of work or just a workout at the gym, and you take a shower and you get in your comfortable clothes, and you know, and it's like, it feels like heaven.
Yeah, it does.
And we want to stay there. But we realize that is just for that moment. And I think so often, what happens with us primarily, it's in our brain, it's in our system, you know, that we get comfortable in the way that we are. And then we not only get comfortable with the way we are, we begin to project onto other people and believe that they're the problem. And 99.9% we're the problem. And the problem meaning that we are not willing to be uncomfortable. We are selfish by nature. We are selfish, self-centered, want it our way. I don't have to change. You need to change. The way I think is the best way. I need to be right. You wrong. Why come we both can't be right and just see it in a perspective that says you win and I win? Even if we don't agree, why come we can't be agreeable? So changing how you see yourself is going to be what we talk about through this whole season. Because I'm telling you, I'm 60 now. Woo! 60. Three scores. Six decades is what I am. So I've seen many things. But the one thing that changed my life is when I began to see me for who I really was. And let me say what I mean by that. About 30 years ago, I began to see a little girl that was 5 years old in a 32-year-old body. And I have had to go back and invite her on a journey. And I know some of you listeners have heard my story. You've read my book. But I will never stop forgetting that that's when change started, is when I could see differently and began to see that there was a lot of people who did a lot of things that were probably not the best for me. But nobody harmed me worse than I harmed myself.
What would you say is the biggest challenge for someone facing change? Like, is it resistance to embrace it? Is it getting very set in your ways so much so that you don't want to look at change? Like, what do you think that is for folks?
Yeah, I do. I'm going to tell a little story. Some people have probably heard the story, and I'm going to tell it, though. It was a young woman who just got married. And we talk about this in my upcoming new book that I won't talk about just yet. But anyway, she had this hem, and she would always cut both ends. And her husband asked her, like, why are you doing that? What is that about? And she's like, well, my mom done it. And it was always the best ham. It always tastes so good. And he said, well, I think I'm going to call your mom and ask her why she did that. Because I need to understand what, you know, I feel like we're wasting perfectly good food, or we could just cook the whole ham. And she got all indignant. Oh, well, let's call her because she'll tell you. And so then her mom said, well, because my mom done it. And so she said, well, I'm going to call my grandmother and ask my grandmother why she done it. And so they called the grandmother, and the husband said, Grandma, why would you always cut the two ends off of the ham before you cooked it? And she said, because we couldn't afford a bigger pot or pan. And so I had to cut it and to make it fit. So in other words, I had to change the size of the ham to fit the size of the pan. And you wonder why we resist? Because it's traditional. Traditions are so hard in churches, in belief systems. So if you look at that three-generation ham, nobody took time to ask why. And when they found out, it wasn't because the ham was cooked better. It was because they just didn't have the big enough pan to do so. So all of them followed a pattern of traditions. And what I'm saying to that is that that's what makes us resist. Because we believe what we believe for so long. I believed what I believed for so long. That when I was challenged to look at it different, it was really difficult. But I always say, you can stay where you are and not change and get what you always get, or you can risk changing and maybe get something different. You decide. Either way, change is going to happen with or without your permission.
So for someone who is jumping into wanting to change their life, is it the why that they need to start with? Like, why am I like I am? Or why is my life like it is?
I do. I think that that is the best. You know, we talk about the how. We always want to get to, if I want to lose weight, you know, how do I do it? I think you should go and say, if I want to lose weight, why do I want to do it? Because I don't believe we can commit to the how until we know the why. And then we won't even commit to the how until we know the what. What is driving us? Why am I like this? What's been driving me? So then I can know how to look at it from a perspective to be empowered enough to have the courage and the bravery and the willingness to ask for help or assistance or support to be able to look at life from a different view.
But how do they get to the correct why? Like you were just talking about losing weight. There's a ton of different things that can motivate you to want to lose weight. It can be because I want to look better, maybe not because I want to be healthier, which should be the better why. But still, there's an underlying thing like that. So if someone is really wanting to get to a true, good base why, how would they get down to that? Like, what? How could they arrive at that spot?
I think they have to ask why more than once.
Keep digging in.
They have to keep saying, and we can use weight. Okay, why do I want to lose weight? Because I want to look good. Why do you want to look good? Because I want people to think I'm cute. Well, why do you want people to think you're cute? Because I want people to accept me. Well, why do you want people to accept you? So until you can accept and ask yourself and know those things for you, instead you could say, well, why do you want to lose weight? Because I want to be healthy. Well, why do you want to be healthy? Because I want to live longer. Why do you want to live longer? Because I want to fulfill my purpose. Why do you want to fulfill your purpose? Because that's what I was born for. So I think those are motivating factors. The whys have to go deeper and deeper and deeper and wider and wider and wider. And sometimes the whys change as well. As we grow, as we develop, the whys change. Again, you may ask yourself the same question 5 years down the road. And the reason you answered it 5 years earlier may be different 5 years later. But you still need to ask yourself why.
And it sounds like that there are situations and things in your life that you need to change at a certain point, maybe not at the next point. Like, you do an evaluation of your life every year, correct?
And I do. So, I do an evaluation. I do a self. I ask other people. I set 3 to 5 year goals. I usually go to counseling, and I do a 2 year counseling every 3 years. So I go to counseling and I go for 2 years, then I'm out for three. So every 5 years I'm in counseling because it's like an oil change, right? If you don't go get your car tuned up, get an oil change, your engine will blow up. We are engines. And we have to be willing to check in, get a checkup. That's why I tell people health is the new wealth. Mental, physical, emotional, financial, relational, visions. You know, 2020 is, everybody was all about vision. You know, what you see and how you see it. Well, how do you see yourself? And what do you see when you look at yourself? And who's talking back to you? And what are they saying? I believe that is what change is. It's always talking and having a conversation with the person in the mirror. Because until you have authentic, real, unadulterated, naked conversations with yourself, you cannot really have them, not real ones, with other people. Even whether you are a believer or not, I believe the Bible. That is my preference. I'm a Christian. My spiritual belief is through the Word of God and Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit. And His Word says that you must love God, love you, and then love others. A lot of us try to love other people without ever loving ourselves. And part of loving you is being willing to look at what needs to be altered, what needs to be changed, what needs to be moved around, or what needs to stay the same. Some things don't even need to change because it's good enough the way it is.
That kind of goes back to the one question of how does a person identify things in their life they need to change? Like, what is the criteria, if you will? As a believer, obviously, we know if we are struggling with sin, of course, in a certain area, okay, we need to make a change there. And to be honest, and I mean, gut level honest, and really rip that thing apart and get to, you know, where the issues are. But say for someone who, they don't really know what this whole faith thing is all about. They don't really know what relationship with God is about. I mean, they're seeking, they don't really know. So approaching change for them, what does that look like?
I don't even think we have to go that deep about even faith, because I believe that it could just be about, you know, that you're an alcoholic, or you know that you are a spendaholic, or you know you're a gambleholic. You know that you're overindulging in things that are killing you more than it's giving you life. And I think you have to believe and then look at yourself and say, am I going to be true to me? I'm telling you, the things that have transformed in my life has been because I am constantly evaluating how I see things. Self-control, changing, you know what I'm saying? I have no control over changing anyone but me.
Right.
And so the reality of it is that we don't even have to go with faith. Let's just go with practicality. If it ain't practical, it probably don't make no sense. But some things you just need to look at your life and say, what is it in me that makes me think that way? That creates me to see life that way? I know some people, and you and I have been in rooms with people, and some kind of way it always comes back to them. Like, geez, does it always have to come back to you? Can sometimes somebody say something and it just be about them? I'm learning that it don't have to come back to me. Sometimes I just need to be present enough to let it be about the person that's really talking. And have enough empathy and enough understanding and enough self-discipline that even if I have an identifying story, not to necessarily share it unless I've been invited to. That's change. Those little small changes like that, those are deep changes for real, but right. It's those little small changes that you can make. And we'll talk more about that through the different seasons, you know, different episodes about, you know, we're going to look at some real, you know, how do you make it the preparation of doing it, you know, and how, but the main thing is, what is change? And to me, change is your ability to want something different, and even at the risk that it may hurt, and even at the risk that you are afraid, you're willing to move forward and stand still in the change you desire more than you are willing to fall back to the patterns you've had. It takes courage. It takes bravery. It takes it. And so I even have a poem that I wrote years ago. It sounds like, you know, that the thing about I Have a Dream by Martin Luther King. And the Lord gave this to me years ago. And it talks about I have a dream of change. And I think I'd like to read that in closing in this episode, because this is what I want us to think about. I have a dream of change. That as we learn to understand the cost of freedom and begin to walk in it, we will have enough energy remaining to help others discover their freedom. I have a dream of change. That even though change is difficult, we won't cave in, give up, or quit. I have a dream of change. That when we go on this journey in life to discover who we are, and as we are faced with the darkness that lies within us, that we will not allow fear to paralyze us and cause us to be inoperative. I have a dream of change. That as we begin to learn how to reposition our thinking, that our choices be reflected because of our lifestyle that we live. I have a dream of change. That we don't have to live in the spirit of lack when the spirit of prosperity lives inside of us. I have a dream of change. That when we live in the moment and embrace life as it comes and stay connected to the source and the giver of life, which is God, God shall hold no good thing from us. I have a dream of change. That God created us with everything that is needed inside of ourselves to fulfill the purpose in the earth. I have a dream of change. That we will stop allowing the world to define our identity, but that we will start telling the world who we are by our faith and our convictions about God, ourselves, and life. I have a dream of change. That once we have a greater understanding of our authentic self and who we truly were created to be, we will begin to choose life and that more abundantly. I have a dream of change.
That's awesome. And that was part also of an album you did called A Voice of Change.
Exactly. But it also came from the day we opened the ministry for the having the courage to change. This was the poem that the Lord laid up on my heart. We opened it up on Martin Luther King's birthday, 1997.
Nice.
And I wrote this.
Yeah.
And I put it away. And now here I am years later talking about change in that way. Because I do have a dream of change.
That's awesome. If any listener out there was interested in the actual studio recording of that poem, please email us. The email is in the description of the podcast, and we will get that to you. Thanks, Lakrita. This has been great. And I'm very excited about where the whole subject of change and all the different facets that people have not even considered where this is going. This is going to be good, folks.
Yeah, I'm excited as well. Thank you, Jennifer.
Thank you.
You've been listening to the Embracing Change podcast. Music production and mastering by Gone Coastal Productions. Podcast editing and production by Jennifer Osborne. Podcast copyright 2020 by Lakrita Bowman.